the President of the United States.
We have allowed so many weasels to be elected.
So wherever and whenever I can take steps without legislation, that's what I'm going to do.
Those weasels who deny American exceptionalism.
I believe in American exceptionalism.
Those weasels who are saying to our children in their schools that we need to conform, that we need to bow down to those foreign interests. They're saying to you and I that America is no longer the great shining light upon the hill. Let us send this message. No, no, no. We will not bow down. We will not conform. And we will not go away.
Now on KLZ, Freedom 560 with your host, Ken Clark.
Good afternoon, Colorado. This is David Leitch, the Striding Conservative. I'm filling in for the great Ken Clark. Ken Clark on Freedom. Ken Clark Kent. He is Superman, right? There you go. On Freedom 560, I'm, as I mentioned, David Leitch, the Striding Conservative. Boy, I had, for those of you who maybe tuned in last night, I was filling in for Chris on Grassroots Radio. And boy, we had a show and a half. There was a little bit of fireworks going on there. You mentioned something like global warming and the fact that you think it's a bunch of hooey, and man, they just come out of the woodwork. It was interesting, and it was a lot of fun. And I think I'm going to probably pull a few more people out of the woodwork today. I gave a little tease on this last night, and this is based off of my article today. And I'll tell you what, in this first segment, I think we'll just go ahead and reference the article, and then I've got some audio we're going to play a little bit later, and just a couple other things we're going to do here. But my article today on stridingconservative.com, please visit my website if you have a chance. Even if you don't agree with me on something, visit my website and leave an opinion, leave a comment. Don't use profanity or I will delete it, but believe me, I have people tell me all the time that they don't agree with me on stuff, and hey, they can be wrong if they want to be. That's okay with me. So I always say I could agree with them, but then we'd both be wrong. So Obama uses the Charleston, South Carolina tragedy to advance the anti-gun agenda. I actually wanted to make that title a little longer, but I didn't want it to be so long to where it ended up being almost an article by itself. Because it's not just that he used the tragedy to put feelers out there, or trial balloons, I guess, if you want to call them that, on the gun issue. But it's also what happened in Congress yesterday that makes his anti-gun viewpoint of the world a little more disconcerting for Constitution-loving Americans. So let me, if you'll bear with me here, I'd just like to read a few excerpts from the article itself. On Wednesday evening, a tragic event occurred in Charleston, South Carolina, when 9 innocent people were murdered in cold blood by a deranged racist at a local church. And as I said last night, we need to continue to pray for the people who lost their lives at Emmanuel AME Church, for their families, their friends, for the whole community, heck, for the whole country, because some of this stuff is getting out of control. With that said, I must also speak up and call out the extremist left-wing anti-gun zealots who just couldn't wait to leverage this tragedy as an opportunity to promote their political agenda, beginning with our constitutional expert who occupies the White House. Constitutional expert, of course, would be in air quotes. Because for a guy who says he's an expert on the Constitution, he sure seems to find a lot of ways to ignore it. You know, as my friends at hotair.com so aptly stated, if I had the opportunity to advise Obama before he gives an official statement on a tragedy such as this one, I would most likely inform him that any statement beginning with the words, "We don't have all the facts," should probably remain unspoken. Heeding such advice would help him avoid that all too typical foot and mouth embarrassment that he is becoming very famous for. In the video that will be, or the audio that we'll be playing here probably after our first break, "We don't have all the facts, but we do know that once again, innocent people were killed in part because someone who wanted to inflict harm had no trouble getting their hands on a gun." Yeah, that's been true for a long time, and it has nothing to do with the fact that guns are evil, and it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that laws are too lax. Let's put it this way. I mean, they caught the guy today, right? If you're following the news and following the story, they caught him. He's already confessed. He confessed that he did it. He confessed as to why he did it. He said he wanted to start a race war. He's a scumbag. People like that don't deserve to live. The governor of South Carolina said he deserves the death penalty, and he does. Unfortunately, in America, the death penalty doesn't necessarily mean you're going to die. Heck, here in Colorado, if you're put on death row, don't worry, Hickenlooper will give you a pass. So yeah, he deserves to die. He deserves to pay the ultimate penalty for being such a pathetic excuse for a human being. Anyone who did anything like this, you know what? Here's the other thing, by the way. I'm going to get off on a small mini tangent. The federal government's involved in this investigation because they think it's probably a hate crime. Well, based on a hate crime definition, it is a hate crime because, as I stated, he already confessed that he not only did this, but he did it for the purpose of trying to start a race war. So I'd like to ask this question. Would it have been any less heinous if he had killed a group of white people at a church at a prayer meeting? Would it have been any less heinous if he'd have killed them for whatever reason, because they were white? Or for no reason at all? Let's just say that he's just an idiot. He was neglected as a kid. Eats too much sugar. I mean, I don't know. Fill in whatever reason you want, and he goes into a church or any other place of where people gather, church, a business, and slaughters a bunch of people. Is it worse because he was racially motivated? Isn't murder murder? Isn't what this guy did just absolutely disgusting, worthy of the death penalty, as the governor of the state has said? Governor of that state, not the governor of our state. Hickenlooper would probably want to give him parole in a couple of weeks. So we have this situation where he is probably going to be tried under federal law for hate crimes. Okay, fine. But is there such a thing as killing somebody because you love them? I mean, you know, isn't hatred the motivation anytime you decide you're going to take somebody else's life? So I don't know. Anyhow, so Obama said that. So then his next statement on the topic, now is the time for mourning and for healing. Not mourning like AM, but mourning like crying. But let's be clear. You know what? That would be another bit of advice I'd probably give Obama. Stop saying, but let's be clear, because immediately, as soon as you say that, everybody in America tunes you out. Because when you say, but let's be clear, what you're really saying is, now's the time for mourning, but hey, here's my political angle on the situation. And that's exactly what he's saying. But let's be clear, at some point, we as a country will have to reckon with the fact that this type of mass violence does not happen in other advanced countries. It doesn't happen in other places with this kind of frequency. And it is in our power to do something about it. Okay, time out here. This type of violence doesn't happen in other advanced countries. Well, you know, for a president who gets most of his news around the world from the media, just like we do, I mean, how many times have we heard him say, oh, yeah, I heard about the IRS scandal just like you guys did. I was watching CNN. Well, except he already said that he's usually watching ESPN. He tries to avoid politics. So, but I mean, if this guy really does get his information on the happenings within his administration and happenings around the world from the news, then where has he been? Just since the first of the year, we've seen horrendous mass violence in other quote unquote advanced countries. Heck, the United Nations, the UK saw gun violence skyrocket in the first decade of this century, despite some of the toughest gun control laws in all of the Western nations. Here are a few examples, though, of what I was talking about. We all know Charlie Hebdo. Despite extreme gun restrictions in Paris, France, two Al-Qaeda gunmen massacred the staff at Charlie Hebdo, killing 12 and wounding 4. In Copenhagen, a radical Islamist was involved in two incidents on the same day, killing one person and injuring three police officers at a free speech debate in a cafe. And in the second attack, killing a Jewish man and injuring two police officers were wounded at a synagogue. Let's not forget the 2011 massacre in Norway. Of course, this wasn't this past year, but this has been recent. Norway, I would consider one of our advanced countries. A man there who legally obtained his weapons in a nation that requires a license to own a firearm. You know, we've been hearing this. Let's license. Let's make them carry insurance. If you want to own a gun, let's join this national registry. We're going to be talking a little bit about that here in a few minutes. It's getting kind of scary, folks. But this guy in Norway killed 92 people. 92. That's way worse. Just in raw numbers as to what happened in Charleston. Again, not way worse because the motivation is exactly the same. They're all idiots. They all deserve to die. You know, if we'd start actually punishing people with the death penalty once they're convicted under the death penalty, perhaps we would see some of this. And, you know, I know all of my liberal friends and all of my liberal enemies, for that matter, are going to say, no, there's death penalty doesn't serve as a deterrent. Well, you know, they also say that owning a gun doesn't serve as a deterrent. Yet in cities where gun laws have been relaxed, violent crime is on the decline. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We have to take a soft break here. So we're going to go ahead. Randy's producing for me today. Thanks for being in the studio, Randy. Let's just go ahead and go to our soft break. When we get back, I'm going to play the audio from the president. We're also going to do a little backtracking and quote the man himself. And I'm going to put some things together with the new trade authority that Congress decided yesterday he deserves, and paint a picture for you that doesn't look all that good if you support the Second Amendment. This is David Leitch filling in for Ken Clark on Freedom 560. This is KLZ 560. And welcome back. This is David Leitch, the strident conservative, filling in for Ken Clark today on Freedom 560. By the way, phone lines are open. If you'd like to chime in on any of the things that I'm ranting about today, feel free. 303-477-5600. That's 303-477-5600. Feel free to give us a call, and we'll try to get you on the air and hear what you have to say. So what I'd like to do is go back now to the audio of what I was, taking some excerpts from here. This is Barack Obama. This was yesterday. This was actually it was early yesterday because it was his first official statement following the events that occurred in Charleston, South Carolina. So here we go.
We don't have all the facts, but we do know that once again, innocent people were killed in part because someone who wanted to inflict harm had no trouble getting their hands on a gun. Now is the time for mourning and for healing. But let's be clear. At some point, we as a country will have to reckon with the fact that this type of mass violence does not happen in other advanced countries. It doesn't happen in other places with this kind of frequency. And it is in our power to do something about it. I say that recognizing the politics in this town foreclose a lot of those avenues right now. But it'd be wrong for us not to acknowledge it.
Politics in this town, what that's code for, by the way, and we're going to be expounding on this a little bit too, what the politics in this town, what he means by that, of course, that's an attempt to try to blame the Republicans. But what he means is, I have something I'd like to do, and the constitutionally installed Congress won't let me do it. Now, we're going to be talking about how the Constitution may be irrelevant here pretty darn soon. Under the free trade authority. But I'd like to what I'm going to do here, Randy, is I'm going to go back to the beginning of this, and I'd like to play some pieces and then just give you all some opinion, if you will. So we're going to go back.
We don't have all the facts, but we do know that once again, innocent people were killed in part because someone who wanted to inflict harm had no trouble getting their hands on a gun.
Okay, right there. Yeah, some people who wanted to inflict harm had no problem getting their hand on a gun. The direct implication here by the president is that it's because guns are easy to get a hold of, because they're legal, because we don't have reasonable gun control laws, and we're not doing what we can to try to disarm America like I'd really like to do. This guy, when he confessed, said that he wanted to start a race war. This guy had hatred for the people that he killed. Do you honestly think that if absolutely every gun law that Obama ever dreamed of were in effect, that this guy wouldn't have found a way to get a gun to do what he did. Of course he would have. If you're going to murder, heck, sometimes you don't even need a gun. There have been attacks by Islamists in Europe with knives, with explosives. So don't sit there and imply that it's because you don't have the gun control laws on the books that you would really like to have, being responsible for this insane idiot who, again, deserves the ultimate penalty for taking the life of another. His life should be taken from him. This guy doesn't have the, you know, Obama, you just don't have the right to try to, it's just absurd. But this is what the left, not just Obama, but this is what the left does. They play these games of platitudes. They like to imply things. They throw out facts that they never have to support. And they have a complicit media who's more than willing to say, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. Well, you're the media. You should know it. You should be telling him some of the facts instead of letting him dictate to you the facts on any particular situation. So before we get back to this, we do have a caller, Bondo, from Fearless Leader and a few other things. Is that what he thinks of me? Is that what you're saying, Randy? Hey, Bondo, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hi, bud. This Obama, I mean, he started out lying, and he just continued lying. And you got a famous person that was a part of his cabinet that's a mayor of Chicago?
Yes, sir.
The murder capital of the United States?
Mr. Rahm Emanuel, you are exactly right. They have
and never let a crisis go to waste.
Yep. They have some of the toughest gun laws in America,
exactly.
and they have one of the highest murder rates in America.
I was thinking about these two Muslims down there in Texas. Where'd they get their guns?
Good point.
Obama didn't spend any time on that subject.
You know, thank you, Bondo, for mentioning that, and I didn't even have that in my notes, but that's a great point. Where was his concern? How come he didn't make an official statement after that event took place saying, you know, well, once again, somebody tried to kill somebody else because they have easy access to guns? Well, of course, I would say that it has to do with the fact that he didn't care for the political event that was going on at the time.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So,
if it had been white people, I don't think Obama had even made an appearance. I mean, they hate white people.
Bondo, thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate it very much. And you brought up some excellent points. And you're right. It sounds almost like an overgeneralization, but it pretty much is true. Obama has pretty much, like a lot of politicians, like Republicans do, by the way, we've got our liars in the Republican Party. Don't even get me started on Mitch McConnell and John Boehner, those scumbags. They are totally worthless. They'll lie to your face telling you they're going to do something in the name of the Constitution. Just give us the majority back. So I'm fair and balanced in my accusations on lying politicians here, folks. But this man is the president of the United States, and following a terrible tragedy, he says he knew the pastor. I'm going to take him at his word. You know, he also said if he had a son, he would be Trayvon Martin. So, I mean, this guy's always trying to identify with things, particularly when minorities are the victims of these types of crimes. So I'm not going to question him on that, but he doesn't have the right to imply that the lack of the gun control laws that he wants on the books are responsible for this insane guy doing what he did, because the bottom line is he wanted to do it and he would have found a gun even if they were illegal for him to have. So let's go back to the audio here, Randy.
Now is the time for mourning and for healing. But let's be clear. At some point, we as a country will have to reckon with the fact that this type of mass violence does not happen in other advanced countries.
Okay, time out. As I've already said, that, see, again, this is one of those overgeneralizations that those on the left try to, you know, it's kind of like we want to raise money to do something in the name of the children. And if you oppose it because the budget won't support it, or because it's unnecessary, or because you don't necessarily agree with the objective of the program, then you don't just have a disagreement you don't have a difference of opinion. You hate children. And that's what Obama's saying here. It's just an overgeneralization. And if you take it at the surface and you say, oh my gosh, we really are an evil country. Oh my gosh, we really are the murder capital of the world. I would put China up against us any old time. You know, forced abortions because of the one-child law. I'll bet they've murdered way more. For that matter, in America, we've murdered way more human beings in the name of choice than any mad gunman ever was able to do. So, all right, Randy, back to the audio here real quick.
It doesn't happen in other places with this kind of frequency. And it is in our power to do something about it. I say that recognizing the politics in this town foreclose a lot of those avenues right now.
Okay, that's enough. I'm tired of listening to this guy. Sometimes I just had lunch and I don't want to spew it all over the studio. I just you know, and he's got, you know, if you see this, you can see this on YouTube. You know, if you watch the video, he's not just pausing for effect without some really great body language. I mean, it's, oh my gosh, you know, we're just in this part where we just have to. Gosh, if everyone would just let me do what I know is really best for the country, you know, these things wouldn't happen. You know, they just wouldn't happen. And when we get back from our break here in a moment or two, we are going to put some other pieces to this puzzle together. We're going to go back. We're going to quote the man himself, get his opinion on what guns mean or shouldn't mean, and then talk about free trade and how free trade could very well be used by Obama and the United Nations to take away our Second Amendment rights. It's a very real threat, folks, and it is coming up. This is David Leitch, the strident conservative, filling in for Ken Clark on Freedom 560. Once again, if you want to call in, please do 303-477-5600, 303-477-5600. We'll get back from this break, and we'll talk a little bit more about losing our Second Amendment rights right here on KLZ 560.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town.
Good one, Chicago, Randy. Love it. Chicago, yeah, for those who maybe just tuned in during that news break, we were referencing the reality from a caller that Chicago has one of the highest murder rates in the country, and yet they have some of the strictest gun control laws. Very interesting coincidence, I'd say. Before we get into my next audio clip here, though, we have Greg from Bailey. Barack is the great initiator. I like that. What's on your mind?
Well, I guess I use that word, but what I was saying was that what I was trying to get my point across, that he's really great at initiating his agenda with every and being very opportunistic with every one of these. And you could really see it with these gun incidents.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen it in the race demagoguery that's gone on. Immediately, mm-hmm. He makes a pretty good case to someone who doesn't know the facts.
Mm-hmm.
He makes great cases that, you know, obviously, you know, these. And he never really states anything absolutely. He'll say, you know, with the stuff from Ferguson on, and even back in Florida with what's his name, the guy that
Trayvon Martin
defending. The guy that was defending himself.
George Zimmerman.
George Zimmerman. He's getting better at it. What he does is he makes these statements like, undoubtedly we need to look at it. There is an element of this. These are statements that you can't necessarily refute, especially at the time he says them.
You know, an interesting thing I'd just like to add in here to kind of reinforce your thing about how he likes to use some of these situations to his advantage. George Zimmerman is the first suspected criminal of a crime that I ever heard described as a white Hispanic.
Well, absolutely.
I mean,
that points out that the media, which was the ones that propagated that, I think that was NBC,
uh-huh.
is immediately jumping in behind him.
Yep.
So you're getting a force. Only at that time he didn't have he wasn't a lame duck. So now, you know, I like your statement you said before you went to the break, where you said you just flat out said this. You know, it's very dangerous, and I know that sounds like something a lot of people say, but we got to remember right now he is going to do everything he can, and he's very good at it. To bowl over our compliant Republican Party that's elected in, this trade deal that he pouted about a little bit, but basically knew that Boehner and McConnell were going to carry the water. He didn't even have to expend any political capital.
Mm-hmm.
So he still got all his powder dry for things like this gun control, which he will push the Constitution, override the Constitution where he can. And I believe along with Boehner and McConnell not really showing that they're willing to oppose him, I think we need to realize we got a real problem that's really bad starting just about now.
Yeah, okay. I agree with you, Greg. Hey, thanks for calling in a lot. I appreciate it. And I really like the great initiator. That's excellent. And I'd like to expand a little bit about what you're talking about. First of all, yes, I do believe, right after the midterms last year, I had great hope that McConnell and Boehner and Paul Ryan and all these guys who are in my GOP Hall of Shame, by the way, on my website, if you'd like to learn a little bit more about how I am no fan of most of the big name Republicans either, because they're just as progressive and just as vacillating and just as I don't care about the Constitution as long as I get some corporation to fund my campaign as those on the left are. That's Mitch McConnell. That's John Boehner. That's what's behind the free trade thing. Nobody. I mean, get this. I mean, who would have thought that a conservative such as myself and the pro-union liberals would be on this, and like Elizabeth Warren? I mean, people would have told you that I was tripping. I mean, they would have told you I was trying some of Colorado's marijuana, because they would have said there's no way that the strident conservative will ever agree with Elizabeth Warren on an issue. But I was with her on this one. So how come this was went through anyway? Well, all these Republicans got a really nice fat paycheck indirectly from all these major corporations who will be the primary beneficiaries of free trade. I'm a free trader. I like the free market. Don't ever accuse me of being opposed to free trade. But I am opposed to anything that takes away my constitutional protections. And this free trade agreement does that. Why is this Republican Congress so willing to just relinquish their authority anyway? Right after the elections, there won't be a government shutdown over anything. Cory Gardner, the big wuss, comes out with this big old thing about how, no civilized organ, basically implying that if you were in favor of a government shutdown in order to prove your point that you were some kind of heathen who didn't deserve to his citizenship. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but I mean, the point just being that, so they came out, nope, absolutely not. Well, our founding fathers gave Congress the power of the purse for just that reason, because if an executive branch feels they can do whatever they want to and the money will be there for them to do it, then they'll do whatever they want to, just like Obama is doing. Speaking of Obama, speaking of gun control, speaking of the free trade thing, I have another audio clip here I'd like to go to. This is from the 2014 State of the Union Address, all the way back about a year and a half ago. I mean, gosh, this is so far in history. I'm surprised I was even able to find it on the internet. Okay, that's, again, some facetiousness on my part. This is our president at the 2014 State of the Union Address. Let me get my... dang it. Stand by, Randy.
Citizenship means standing up for the lives that gun violence steals from us each day. I've seen the courage of parents, students, pastors, police officers all over this country who say, we are not afraid. And I intend to keep trying, with or without Congress, to help stop more tragedies from visiting innocent Americans in our movie theaters and our shopping malls or schools like Sandy Hook.
Oh, boy. With or without Congress. I want to make sure you heard those words. With or without Congress. This is not the only promise he made to do with or without Congress. He promised to address climate change with or without Congress. He was going to do everything he does is with or without Congress. Actually, more without than with. Why is this important? Well, last night, and one of the things that kind of got some of my listeners, or some of the listeners, I guess Chris's listeners, I won't claim them as my own yet, but some of Chris's listeners last night, was the fact that I had a problem with the whole global warming argument in the first place, but my main objection to the encyclical issued by Pope Francis was his call for a global government in order to initiate this. And this fell right in line with a statement made by the representative of the United Nations from France, who specifically said, this is little, you'll find this on my website, please visit it, and you'll get links, you'll get, I mean, I document everything I write about. All of my opinions are my own, and they're always right, but they are always right being a play on words, folks, all right? But my opinions are always right, but I document every, my conclusions are very well documented. I don't just wake up one morning and say, hey, this is what's going on. Sometimes I do, and then I use a little science to try to see if I'm right about that. Sometimes I'm not. But the encyclical calls for this global governance, and this fell right in line with this French representative of the United Nations who said, I'm paraphrasing it, but this is pretty close to an exact quote, we need to find a way to get the fix, quote unquote, to global warming past the Congress and the Constitution. He specifically mentioned both. The Pope is calling for just such a board being formed at the United Nations. Now, I know this is not the Pope's ultimate decision, but as I shared last night on Grassroots Radio, this is something that Obama has pledged to do. He's pledged to give the United Nations just such control, maybe not through a formally formed board of representatives at the United Nations level, but he specifically said that he will allow the United Nations to influence our global warming, our climate change, or whatever they are calling it these days, policies. What does that mean, or how could he do that? He can now do that under the free trade authority that the House passed, that the Senate is trying to get their differences between, you know, it originally passed in the Senate. The House had to do some shenanigans to get it through the House, and now it's back in the Senate so they can iron out their differences, and eventually it's going to go to the president's desk and be signed, and he'll have this authority. And under this authority, he'll be able to make trade agreements on anything that he wants to call a trade issue. So let's say, for example, we're talking about, I don't know, automobiles. We're talking about coal. We're talking about natural gas. We're talking about whether or not you can cut down a tree. We're talking about environmental policies, all these kinds of things. He can make all of that a trade issue because the economy, believe it or not, it really does have an economic impact one way or the other. If you can drill for oil, there's an economic impact by jobs being created and energy being produced. If you can't do it, there's an economic impact because those people are now unemployed. So ecology and the environment does have an economic impact. So he will be able to pretty much force on America climate change. Okay, now I don't want to get too far off track. I covered most of that last night. What's this got to do with guns? Well, we will talk about that when we get back from this soft break. We're going to take this break now, Randy, and when we get back, we're going to tell you how this could be a backdoor, the trade authority could be a backdoor way for Obama to take away our guns. You're listening to KLZ 560. I'm the strident conservative David Leitch filling in for Ken Clark. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Freedom 560. I'm your guest host, David Leitch, the strident conservative, filling in for Ken Clark today. If you'd like to chime in on our discussion, 303-477-5600. Okay. So we have established so far in the show that Obama has used the Charleston tragedy as a means of trying to throw out his anti-gun rhetoric again, which he has done successfully. We have now connected the free trade. We also confirmed that he's willing to do things with or without Congress when it comes to gun control. Now we are on the subject of the trade authority, trade promotion authority, which is all, which has been in the news. By the way, right, I'm saying right up front, again, equal opportunity criticizer of Republicans. I was a big fan of Ted Cruz early in the campaign. Ted's now got to earn my trust back because he favored the trade authority situation. He says that he's looked at this legislation and all of our fears don't exist. Well, if they don't exist, why is it being held in a locked vault like something out of one of the Bourne movies, requiring you to sign over, you know, your firstborn in blood? You can't take any recording or picture devices. You can't take notes. You can't even take one of your staff members in without getting the approval of the White House first. If this is so freaking harmless, why is it so top secret? Okay, so Mr. Cruz, you're down a notch. I don't know if you'll stay there, but right now I'm really disappointed that you are favoring this, even if you're right. You should be out there cheerleading for this to be revealed to the public before you guys went ahead and voted on it, which you all did. Okay, so Trade Promotion Authority. An article on the New American just a couple of days ago. TPA, backdoor to enforcement of the United Nations Arms Trade Treaty. We have signed the Arms Trade Treaty. Well, we haven't, but our representatives have, Barack Obama and John Kerry. We have signed it. Now, calling it a treaty means that the Senate, three-fourths of it, is supposed to say yes or no. So right now, nothing has really particularly happened to it. But catch the title. UN's Arms Trade Treaty. What did Obama just get granted by the House? And if the Senate approves it too, he will have trade authority. All they'll have to do is drop the word treaty. And this now becomes a trade issue. Most pundits and politicians are claiming that the Trade Promotion Authority is no more than a statutory acknowledgement of a power already possessed by the president to promote free trade. Well, if he already possesses the power, why do you have to give it to him again? For example, presidential candidate and Senator Ted Cruz, I already did this, he explained his recent vote that saying, historically, since FDR, virtually every president has had fast-track authority. Fast-track provides is simply a free trade agreement. I'm sorry, what Fast Track provides is simply if a free trade agreement is negotiated, that Congress will vote on it up or down without amendments. Okay, they'll vote on it up or down without amendments. Without amendments, meaning that the president will present a law in essence. So if this has been going on since FDR, then several Congresses have relinquished their responsibility. The vote on it up or down without amendments, and history has demonstrated for the last 80 years that the only way to get free trade agreements adopted is to have fast track. So, in other words, since we have this constitutional system in America that makes it too difficult to handle this the way the Constitution says we should, we'll go ahead and give the president this up or down authority, and then we'll just go ahead and do it that way. And then, of course, the president can present something to Congress, and if it does get a down vote, he'll blame the Republicans for obstructing, and he'll say something along the lines like, well, you must hate the children. I mean, this is what the left does. There's no such thing as an up or down thing. Nothing is black. Law is not black and white. If law was black and white, we wouldn't need a court system. So I'm just sitting here saying, it's like, don't sit here, you know, I won't be as graphic, but don't take a leak on my leg and tell me it's raining. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So he says if there's no fast track, free trade agreements don't get negotiated. Well, perhaps that's what our founders had in mind. But there is something much more sinister at work here. This is, again, according to the article on the New American. And it involves not just trade in goods, but trade in arms as well. Consider this. If Congress grants the president the power to unilaterally negotiate and contract trade agreements with foreign powers, these executive agreements, quote unquote, can cover any topic that the White House considers trade. That's what I was saying earlier before the break. That would include firearms. If the TPA passes, then the United Nations Arms Trade Treaty would not need to be subject to a senatorial debate. In other words, it wouldn't require the three-fourths vote by the Senate. In fact, it would be not up for debate at all. Why? Because free trade says up or down, no amendments. So there is no, if you can't amend it, there's nothing to debate. You either say yes or no. In fact, TPA calls for a simple up or down vote on such presidentially brokered international agreements. And for those readers unfamiliar with the United Nations Arms Trade Treaty, here's a brief summary that should shock you. It's so offensive to the preservation of our right to keep and bear arms that it's an understatement to call it unconstitutional. The treaty leaves private citizens power to oppose future slaughters. Events like Charleston, You'd be powerless to fight it. An irrefutable fact of armed violence unaddressed by the UN in its gun grab is that all the murders committed by all the serial killers in history don't amount to a fraction of the brutal killings committed by authorized state parties. See, this treaty, or this trade agreement, wouldn't only restrict our rights, but it would also give the United Nations the authority to decide who does get weapons. Article 2 of the treaty defines the scope of the treaty's prohibitions, the right to own, buy, sell, trade, or transfer all means of armed resistance, including handguns, is denied to civilians under this section of the Armed Trade Treaty. There it is right there. They say that it doesn't have anything to do with guns, but under this treaty, and if it became law in the United States, and it could become law under the Free Trade Act or the TPA, Trade Promotion Authority, then what we would be dealing with is an outright ban on any kind of weapon, armed resistance, including handguns. Article 3 places ammunition and munitions fired, launched, or delivered by the conventional arms covered under Article 2. So you not only wouldn't be able to have the guns, obviously you wouldn't be able to have the ammunition. Of course, if you don't have the guns, you don't need the ammunition. Article 4 rounds out the regulation, also placing all parts and components of weapons within the scheme. So it covers the ammunition. It covers the gun. It covers all the parts that make the gun. And this treaty, what is currently be called a treaty, but we're gonna start referring to it to what Obama will call it if he gets this free trade authority, arms trade agreement. He will be able to use his trade authority to make this the law of America, and Congress won't be able to do anything about it. Now, of course, they'll bring it to Congress, and Congress will have to vote yes or no, supposedly. You and I both know that it's not that black and white. Just like the whole thing that Corker did with the thing with Iran and their admissions with nuclear arms. He claims that he came up with this great solution to keep Obama under control. Well, no, he didn't. Obama has to present something to Congress. They'll have 30 days to review it. If they say no, then that's like writing another law. And then Obama can veto their no. And then their no will require 67 votes in the Senate to override the veto and a large part of the House to override the veto. So this is real, folks. This is really what's going down. This is not tinfoil thinking or anything like that. We are dealing with the reality that Trade Promotion Authority fits perfectly with Obama's objectives to try to take away our Second Amendment rights in America. It's been his goal from the very beginning. We're going to get a few more quotes here from when he was running for president in 2008. You're listening to David Leitch, the strident conservative. I'm filling in for Ken Clark on Freedom 560 today. You're listening to KLZ 560.